sanitary hospital, but, you know, maybe marble, kind of nice, but a big throne, and sort of everybody's sort of standing there forever, you know, looking at the throne, singing songs, maybe. Most of our pictures aren't incredibly captivating. And Hollywood has certainly given us lots of different pictures, and some of them are intriguing, and some of them are ridiculous. I saw a Dolly Parton movie. I know. Why is your thought? Why would you watch a Dolly Parton movie? But there's this movie where she's an angel, and at the end she is in this, wants to sing in the choir, and she ends up in this choir, and she's singing, and she floats up, you know, into heaven with this like group of eight people, and it's just really nerdy and embarrassing. And I thought that's heaven right there. The context for this morning is Jesus with his disciples. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14, and they are in the upper room, and they've just had communion together like we did. Passover. Jesus has just broken the bread. He's passed it around, and now he's told them that he is going to go away. And they are confused, and they are sad. Right? Wouldn't you be? 3 years hanging out with Jesus. I mean, all the miracles, right? Day one, wild day after another, walking on water. You'd be walking along with the rest of the disciples going, remember when he walked on that? Remember when it was like really, you know, when he turned the water into wine, and remember when he fed 5,000, I mean, my basket was really weird. I'm looking down and I'm like passing out stuff, and somebody interrupts me, I look back and it's full again, you know, and remember the stories and all that, but more than those, just the connection with Jesus, you know, this mentoring. Wouldn't we love to have somebody just who's a mentor, who loves us and mentors us, gives us maybe a new name, like Cephas, you're now Peter, you're Rock, you know, James and John, you guys are the sons of thunder. He's speaking identity in them, friendship and adventure like you've never dreamed would have been what it would have been like to hang out with Jesus for 3 years. And here he is, I'm going to go away. And let's look here in John chapter 14 verse 1, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That would be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Wow. Welcome. I'm Randy. If you're new to Adventure Church, we are in a series right now entitled I Am, where we're looking at the beauty and the grandeur and who God is and what he's like. And we talked about just last week, we talked about the fact that his name is I Am. And some of the things, very little, a sliver of the things that means last week. And this week we're talking about Jesus' statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, you are the way and the truth and the life. And you are so much more beautiful than I can describe. But Lord, we don't see you. Not really. Lord, would you open our eyes to you this morning. Would you please pray that just between you and God? Jesus, I want to see you. Open my eyes to you. I want to fall in love with you this morning. Oh, Jesus, that's my prayer. Would you use my mouth and the thoughts that you've given me this week and these truths in Scripture to cause us to fall in love with you and to go deeper into union with you? Would you just pray that right now? Amen. So back to the passage in John 14. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what's the context? In what way is he the way here? What's he been talking about? Before that, yes, after. But what's the first thing he says? In my Father's house are many rooms, right? I'm going to prepare a place for you. You know the way to the place I'm going, he says to Thomas, or it says to them, Thomas says, well, we don't know the way. So what's in his mind when he's saying, you know, I'm the way to where? To heaven. Right? And what have you pictured when you've read that passage before? In my Father's house are many rooms. What's come to your mind? Honestly. Huh?
A high-rise
building. Okay.
A brick mansion.
Yeah, I kind of pictured a foyer like in a hotel with hallway that go on and on and on and on with doors. Like a big boarding house and you get a room. You know? And what was in Jesus's, he is the master of understatement. What was in Jesus' mind when he said, in my Father's house are many rooms? Well, let's take a look at it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 21. And let's just look at what was in the Lord's mind when he says this. Verse 1. This is amazing. He says, then I saw, I can't get my little bookmark in here, so I'm going to set it down. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Picture it, okay? And then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. So this is God speaking. Saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. So picture the scene. Everybody's there. The new heaven is coming down. I mean, it's the big moment. The final crescendo. And what does God want to do? He wants to sit next to you with a tissue and comfort you over the hurts you've experienced in your life? Really? That's what he wants to do in that moment. I mean, don't you love him? All right, so skip forward to verse 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come and I will show you the bride. Let's take a look at what this city's like. The wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, and it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates, and on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And there were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So I'm picturing, I guess, just these giant foundation stones tearing up, maybe? 12 foundations? And the angel who had talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. And the city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. And he measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it was long. And he measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick. It's about 200 feet thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. And the wall, okay, so picture it in your mind, was made of jasper. Does anybody know what jasper looks like? Yeah, what's jasper?
It's a beautiful red.
It's a red color. That's cool. So its wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. And the foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. And the first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth cornelian, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophras, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. I know what an amethyst looked like. That's the only one I know. 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. And the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. And on no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. And the glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it, and nothing impure will ever enter into it. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 22, the angel showed me the river of water of life, the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, and no longer will there be any curse. No more blackberries. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve them, and they will see His face, and His name will be on their forehead, and there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. The Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Okay. Jesus is the master of understatement. Yeah, my Father's house, there's many rooms. How does your heart react to the reality that's coming, this picture of this city emanating, light emanating from God Himself? I mean, it's wild, it is otherworldly, right? The doorways are made of slabs of single pearl, giant pearls, right? From God emanating light that goes into the floors and into the walls, so the floors and walls glow, bringing light. What happens in your heart as you picture that? You imagine what thoughts, what feelings come to mind? Totally overjoyed. Overwhelmed. Anything else? It's beyond imaginable. It is. It's out there, isn't it? Yeah. 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 Okay, so in my Father's house are many rooms. We did the math this week. Every calculator I could find when I started, now 12,000 stadia is about 1,400 miles. So the city is 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles deep, and 1,400 miles high. And every calculator that I could find errored out when I tried to find the cubic feet inside this thing. So I had to go to like a math guy. So Jonathan, who's like a calculus teacher, I went to him, I went to a couple other. And so what we've got is the New Jerusalem is has 404 quintillion cubic feet in it. Okay, so there's billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion. Okay, so it has 404 quintillion cubic feet. Now, how many of you have a home that's 3,000 square foot or larger? One of you guys are like, don't want to say, huh? Anybody have a 5,000 square foot home? Anybody? 5,000? 10,000 square foot home. You wouldn't say anyway because you know I'd be talking to you afterward about the building campaign. Right? Okay, let's say each of you get a 10,000 square foot home with 12 foot high ceilings. Okay? You don't want 8 foot ceilings, you want, you know, 12. These are only 14, so, you know, 12's pretty high. So, don't get distracted, alright? Everybody's like, really? They might be 19. Anyway, how many 10,000 square foot homes would fit in that? Alright, well, we did the math and 3.4 quadrillion 10,000 square foot homes fit in there. All right, that's a lot. In my father's house are many rooms. How many Gates mansions, Bill Gates mansions? It's 40,000 square foot. We're going to give him 12-foot ceilings too. How many Bill Gates mansions would fit in the new city of God, in the New Jersey? 841 trillion. What if God said, you know, Ephraim, I want to give you the city of Duval. That's going to be your house. It's going to be that big. All right? How many cities of Duval would fit at 200 feet deep? You got to have some height for, you know, your hovercraft or whatever, you know, you fun. How many cities of Duval? 31.5 billion cities of Duval fit. And how many cities of Seattle? Cities of over a million people would fit. Now, obviously, different cities would be spread out. But we'll just take the density of Seattle, about 1.5 million people. And, 7.2 billion Seattles fit in the city. In my father's house are many rooms. I just love Jesus. You know, he's like, don't be discouraged, guys. You know, he's thinking about this. And he's going, in my father's house are many rooms. Now, you may not realize there's only 336 cities in the world right now over a million people. There might be some big lakes and stuff in there, too. I don't know. And if you get, you know, if you don't want to stay 24-7 in the new heaven, that's okay because you can pop down to the new earth because I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So you can go down there, you know, and maybe spend a week on the new beaches in the new Caribbean, do some parasailing, whatever activities your new body are going to be capable of. See? So this is why 1 Corinthians 2 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Jesus says, you know the way to the place I am going. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. So Jesus is clearly saying, I am the way to heaven. And he's trying to bring clarity to also, he's the only way. Right? No man can come to the Father but by me, he says just a breath after this. He's not a way to heaven. He's not a way to that future. He is the only way. And a lot of people don't like that statement, do they? They want all paths to lead eventually to heaven, but they don't. They don't. And I didn't say it. Jesus said it. So if you don't like it, you got to take it up with Him. He said He's the only way to heaven. But the context, Jesus is answering Thomas, he goes into a larger statement when he says, "But I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so I think he's kind of expanding. He's making a much more wide sweeping statement than simply he's the way to heaven. How is he the way? Bigger. How is he the way? What's he saying? I'm the way. Is he just saying I'm the way to heaven? In what way is he the way? To life. I'm the way. Huh? I'm the way of living. I'm the way to spiritual understanding. What do you think of when you say, when you hear the word the way, or when you hear the way? Just simply in just conversation. Like, do you know, I mean, the first question I ask when I go to a new town is, do you know the way to Starbucks? Right? And so, it's the route. I'm the route. I'm the path. I am the interstate to the only destination that is right and true that you need. Our souls were never meant to be sedentary. Our souls were never meant to, we're not designed to be in neutral or park. We're always designed, we're made to be in drive. And sitting stagnant too long makes the heart feel sick. Doesn't it? You'll feel like you're moving along. So Jesus is saying, yes, I am the way to heaven, but I'm also the way to everything. Everything you really want. I am the way to oneness with God. That's why He came. Well, show us the Father. Philip says, don't you know Me? I'm the way. I'm the route to oneness with God and oneness with everybody else. Oneness with your spouse. I'm the way to oneness with your spouse. Debbie and I, last year, we did Love and War here at church, and before Love and War started, we kind of realized we had grown apart in some ways. We felt like roommates. Any of you married folks relate to that at all? We just kind of felt like we lived in the same house, but not in love, not connected like we had enjoyed before, and we didn't know how to get there. In fact, we felt like we had too many issues or challenges, stuff that we wrestled with in our marriage. It's like, just to start talking about it again would be hard. And what we did was, I don't know, I think the Lord just may have kind of led me to it. We just said, you know what, we don't know how to get there. We don't know the way to get to love and oneness. But maybe God does. Let's go out every Thursday morning and just go for a walk together for an hour and pray. And so we held hands and we prayed every Thursday morning, Jesus, would You just make us fall in love with each other? Would You restore our love and our union and our relationship? And those prayer times led to some really, really exciting times right after the prayer times that I can't say with young people in the audience, but that we fell in love. God did it. It worked. Jesus is the way, and it didn't work because of some sort of, here are the problems you have and you can work through these things. He just did something in our hearts where we started to love each other more deeply again. Now there's a humility that goes with that. Lord, we don't know what to do. We can't untangle it all. Would You help us fall in love? I am the way to union with your spouse. You see that? I am the way to connection with your daughter. Well, how does that work? Well, the Lord would say, if you just come to me and seek me and ask me how I see her, hear from me on how I see her, hear from me on what I see in her, and you just share that with her, and you pray for her, and you pray for your relationship with her, guess what I'll do? I will make that happen. Friendship with your son. I want that. How do I get that? I'm the way to that. Jesus said something in Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God, seek Him first, and all these things will be added to you. All these things that you care about will be taken care of. I am the way to your land being healed. You guys, have you heard that phrase before? If my people, 2 Chronicles says, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Do you have any land that needs healing? Anybody here got any land that could use some healing?
The whole country.
Our country, our economy, my job, my financial issues, my, right? We have land that needs healing. How do I get there? How do I get that? Well, there's some simple steps. Humble yourself. Humble yourself and pray. Yeah, being on your knees, the whole getting on your knees thing when you pray, it's a good idea. There's a reason people do that, right? There's a humbling. I can't do it. I can't fix it. Humble yourself and pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. What's going on that you've been turning to that you need to turn away from? You can't have healing of your land if you're still grabbing on to something that God doesn't want you to do, and you've got to forsake it. And then I will hear and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I am the way. I am the way to your healing. Whether it be your land or your heart, the blows that you've taken over your life, I will heal those as well. I am the way to become the man that you always wanted to be. I'm the way to become the woman, the mother that you have always wanted to be. To become the spiritual leader that you have always wanted to be. I'm the way. Jesus saying, all the things that your heart longs for, hear this, all the things your heart longs for were implanted in your heart by Him on purpose to be fulfilled only through union with Him. I'm the way. Seek me first, and all these things will be taken care of. Any of you tried it? And it works? It works. It works. Okay, He's also the truth. I'm the way, and I am the truth. Okay? Everybody's looking for truth, aren't they? I mean, we're looking for truth. We're looking for answers. We're going to look at a humorous scene from Forrest Gump to kind of illustrate this. Let's roll that scene. And this is Forrest experiences some pain, and he goes a-running.
Run for 3 years, 2 months, 14 days and 16 hours.
Now what are we supposed to do? Oh my goodness. You know, life comes at us and things happen. You know, and our hearts take blows and we experience losses and we look around this world, we see wars and we see disasters and we wonder, what's really true? What's going on? Don't we? Do you ever think that? You know, and we turn to the latest thinking, you know, political ideology, philosophy, scientific discovery to get a handle on what is true. We see some person running for 2 years. For what reason? You know, and I love that guy. He's like, this guy's got it together. You've got the answers, you know. And it's so funny because it's a caricature, but it's really true. And we're all asking, what can I hang on to? Is there any compass that I can completely trust? And Jesus says, yeah, I'm that compass. I am the right interpreter of everything. Without turning to Him for orientation, with all the experiences in this life, we will interpret everything wrong. His take on what is going on is the right take. What He says and what He's lived in the pages of Scripture, all of His teaching is the truth. It's the truth you can bank on. And if you want to know what the right path is for your life, for your relationships, for your marriage, for your next steps, for your next mission, you need only seek Him for the true answer. I am the truth, He says. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. Now, when we looked at the New Jerusalem in Revelation, I read this part of it that said, Revelations 22, 1-2, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and down the middle of the great street of the city, and on each side of the river stood the tree of life. Why a river? Why a river down the center?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody live in California? I grew up in California. Okay. River, life. No river, no life. Desert, gulchy. You drive up. What's all this green coming? You get to the, and there's a river. And it's, and what does it bring? Beauty. You go down there, I mean, we would drive, where I grew up, we'd drive to the river, because that's where it's going to be beautiful. I would go there to have a quiet time, spend time with God, because that's where I wanted a beautiful place. Jesus saying, I bring the beauty. See? What is life made of? Beauty. I bring the beauty. What else does a river bring? Hmm? Lots of things. What?
Well, just a little backdoor. Water is the most important nutrient. There's nothing that comes before it.
Yeah. Water is a picture of our deep longings being fulfilled. When Jesus said, is anyone thirsty, let him come to me? It's because the picture of water and quenching thirst is this, I thirst for love, for connection, for somebody to care about me, I'm that source. The river. What else does the river bring? Food? Why do the Indian tribes, you know, put the camp next to a river, you know? They didn't use it. You know, but fish, food, right? You want to grow? You want to get food for your soul? You want to grow? Don't we all want to experience growth internally? I'm the river. I'm life. It's amazing. A place to wash. You need to get cleaned up. You live near the river, right? No plumbing yet. You get in there and you wash. Jesus is a place to wash. The river's an amazing picture. Irrigation. Life was made to expand to others, and then the fields all around the river will teem with life when irrigation comes off. So Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. I want to ask you to stand with me. We're going to sing a new song. I'm going to invite you to learn a new song, hear a new song with me. It's called The Great I Am. And you can just stand and kind of go through the words, but it's a very easy song to learn. I just want to invite you to worship the I Am, the way, the truth, and the life, through this song. It's a good song. Go ahead and have a seat. We're going to dismiss in a second. But on Communion Sundays, what we often do is take a what we call a benevolent offering. And so I want to do that. It's just a special fund that we use to help folks that are having a difficult or tight month. And so if you have some extra that you can share with folks, that would be awesome. And let me pray for that as the ushers come forward. So Jesus, you are the great I Am. And we want to fall in love with you. Lord, would you cause our hearts to fall more in love with you? Lord, would you help us to see you, your beauty, your grandeur, your majesty? And Lord, if we could just see you, we would never turn to anything else. Nothing else would matter. If we could just get a glimpse of you. Lord, we want to share the gifts you've given us, the blessings with others. And so, Lord, would you use these gifts for your glory? Would you use them for your kingdom and advance it? Lord, would you help those who are in need through this benevolent offering in Jesus' name? Amen. So let's go ahead and pass that around. And while that's passing around, I want to just talk to you just a second here. Today is sort of the Giving Sunday for our building campaign and growth campaign. And so we're going to be, if you didn't prepare or you left the thing at home, we have pledge cards. They should be, are the pledge cards in the bulletin today? Again, so if you like forgot it or something like that, if you would just if you didn't come prepared to give today and you could bring it next week, that's great. But just make sure that pledge card's in there so we can kind of have an idea. We'd like to announce, if we can, tonight at our celebration how much came in toward the $20,000 goal. And so if you could remember to put those in on your way out, we'd sure appreciate it. And that those funds are going to go, if you're new, those funds are going to revamping the front entrance so we have kind of a space out there for winter months, and then also to replace the deck. And then to have some money aside for moving toward a building. And so be praying for that and God's miracle there. And then also on your way out, we've just got a regular offering basket in the back. And so if you came prepared to give there, I just want to remind you about that. And thank you so much for coming. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you back at 5 with your food.